Hello, gay men, and welcome to the Coming Inside Out podcast. I'm your host, Mark Dembo, along with my co-host, Brian Janes.
Hey, welcome, Mark, Brian. Good to see you. It's good. How's everything in New York?
You know, it is definitely turning into spring. I went out for a walk this morning in shorts. It felt so nice just to be out. It was a little cloudy, a little humid, but I'll take it. It was just nice to start feeling like the nice weather's coming.
All right, in your Saga Talk shorts or in regular shorts?
No, I haven't broken out the Saga Talk shorts yet. And, you know, that's for mature audiences only.
Okay. I wear my Saga Talk shorts. I actually have five pairs of them now.
That's right. Brian, yes, I was there when you bought them. I remember.
I bought two while I was there, and then I went online. I bought three more pairs.
And so, I remember you trying them on in the store.
Yes.
At the club.
And a complete stranger coming up to me and telling me, you need to buy those shorts. And I was like, do you work here?
Sold.
Oh, that's too funny. All right. Well, Mark, again, I want to welcome you to the show. I'm so happy that you agreed to do this with me full time. We've gotten some great feedback from our listeners. They love your presence on the show. They're loving what you bring to the show. So thank you again.
Thank you for inviting me and asking me. And what is this, our fourth? Fourth episode together, I think.
Third episode. Oh, maybe it is our fourth.
No, I think it's our fourth.
You're right.
I think it's our fourth.
It is. Oh my God.
I think. I'm losing track. Yeah.
Somebody said they could listen to us talk for hours. So we'll just, we're going to go down that path.
They better be careful what they wish for. But, you know, listen, I'm having a lot of fun. And, you know, what's also really great is, you know, some of the feedback that we've received, and the reason I think we both do this and spend the time because of the impact, and we've all been on these journeys. I had one gentleman reach out to me just the other day who had listened, I think, to the first episode we did together, where I was telling a bit about my story, and somebody had just recently come out to his wife, and he shared with me, I had my wife listen to that episode because I wanted her to hear the story of other men and how they've worked through the process. And as I always say, you know, everybody's story is unique. Nobody's going to have the exact same journey, but it just meant so much to me that my story, our story, is able to help others going through this process. And it helped us all learn from each other. So
yeah,
I'm
isn't
really
that incredible?
Time with you. Yeah.
That's feel good is what I call that, because
exactly.
So many people have written in that have actually found our podcast, you know, hugely beneficial in their coming out process. And originally the podcast I thought was going to be for gay fathers, because that resonated with me. Going back and looking at the stats, you know, we have people 18 to 24. We have women that listen to the show. It's not just for gay fathers like it was originally rolled out to be, but, you know, as two gay fathers, I think possibly younger people in the LGBTQ plus community, I don't know, maybe we were father figure-ish to them.
Are you saying you're a daddy, Brian? Is that what you're saying?
Yes. No. Yes. No. Yes. Oh, my God. That's too funny. Hey, you had written on our talking points, I had brought this up in our very first episode, to go back and talk about mid-century modern. Did you watch it?
Have you watched it?
I binged it. I think last weekend I watched, over the weekend, is there 10 episodes? Maybe, but I watched all.
Okay, so you're farther ahead than me. I've watched three so far.
Oh, all right.
But I thought, 'cause I know when we first talked about it, it hadn't premiered yet, and now it is. I'm curious. What do you think?
Without
any spoilers for those who haven't watched.
Yes. You referenced it as part of, like, kind of like the Golden Girls, which I had never seen an episode of. After that, I went back and I tried to watch part of season one of the Golden Girls. Maybe I would need to watch a later season, but I don't know. it was entertaining, I guess. I don't know that I, even though I binge watched it over the weekend, I don't know. It was all right.
Yeah.
Okay.
I am curious, you know, for anybody listening, write in, tell us what you thought. Yeah. if you've watched it or watch it. You know, there's a couple, I mean, from the Golden Girls analogy, I mean, you can make some real parallels to, you know, the characters and who is who. My initial reaction, I have to say, after I watched the first episode of Mid-Century Modern, I was like, it seems a little contrived. Or what comes to mind is like, they're trying too hard. Mm-hmm. Now, granted, it's a sitcom. Yeah. With that said, what did strike me, and this is, I was kind of two minds. They, on the other hand, I can't think of any other TV show that is really talking about and addressing lives of gay men. And it's a little, I'll call it slapsticky, if you will, and maybe some stereotypes. But I thought they're really kind of talking about real things and what it's like to live a gay lifestyle. And even if you go back and talk about shows like Will and Grace, I mean, what was that, 20
watch that show
plus
either,
years ago?
But
a fairly stereotypical portrayal. So by the time I got to episode 3, I thought, wow, they're actually addressing some things that are very germane to us. One of the characters is a gay dad, had been married to a woman, came out, dealing with how he relates to his daughter. Again, I don't want to give any spoilers away if, you know, for anybody that hasn't seen it, but I thought, okay, they're dealing with some real things here.
Yeah. I got that through Modern Family. I used to watch that with my boys.
Yeah.
There was a lot of humor in there, but they touch on some topics for the LGBTQ community.
Absolutely.
Also.
So, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
Well, you know, as you watch it, let me know what you think. And, you know, again, with the listeners, if you want to write in at comingsideout@gmail.com, we'd love to hear from you. Something funny I'm going to share is Mark and I post this podcast on multiple platforms, and we received some feedback that our podcast was not going to be allowed on a platform, an LGBTQ plus platform, because Mark was MAGA.
See?
And it was
let me get my hat, okay?
And he typed it as M-A-G-A-Y.
A MAGA.
I didn't know what that was. I thought it was the typo of something. I thought, oh, what is Mark? And so I went back and I'm like, oh, I'm sorry, I misunderstand. What is Mark? And then he came back and he said that you were MAGA, which I laughed about and I defended you. But
and we clarified it. And I do have to say that he apologized for that characterization once I said, wait a minute.
But you know what?
And I'm sorry, Brian. I didn't mean to cut you off there.
Go ahead. I was just saying he still didn't allow for the episode to be posted on the platform because we're in such a heated climate right now politically that within the first 10 minutes of the episode, you had said there needs to be room for political diversity.
Right.
And they were concerned that you were offering support to MAGA. Which obviously,
Rich, clearly, no. And I think that gets, you know, we talked a bit about the log cabin Republicans on some previous episodes. And, as I did some more digging into some of the things that the log cabin Republicans are talking about and reading about their history, totally understand, you know, hey, conservative Republicans, gay, how do we have a voice to stand up for fairness and inclusion and LGBTQ rights? That was kind of where they started. And I'm going to say this again. It is really concerning to me. This is not about saying you can't be gay and be Republican. Mm-hmm. What I cannot get my head around is how you can be gay and be a supporter of this administration.
Yes.
Those are not the same thing.
Yes. I agree.
Unfortunately, and I said this in the last episode, Donald Trump has come to define the Republican Party, and that is unfortunate because now you've got people who feel disenfranchised and are afraid to speak out for their political beliefs. This is not me saying I agree with them, but now they feel like they can't speak out. But if you go on to the Log Cabin Republican website,
which I did, things
that, a couple things that stood out to me. They have a section on their website around issues. One of their key issues, their platform, is around fairness for all. And they talk about their bullet points are legislative protection for LGBTQ people in the workplace, ensuring no one can be fired on the basis of sexual orientation or gender identity. Mm-hmm. Last I saw, maybe it's changed in the last 25 seconds or since we started recording, the Trump administration is doing everything in its power to erase anything related to gender identity.
Yes.
Unless you are a cisgender male or cisgender female.
Yes.
Right?
Yes. Okay.
Contradiction right here, Log Cabin Republicans, but yet you, many of them are continuing to stand up against or standing up for this organization and being a part of it. That is a problem to me.
Yeah.
I also noticed on the rest of their website, they have erased the Q from LGBTQ.
All right. I don't know that the Q was there because when I originally went and researched the Log Cabin Republicans and formed in the late 1970s, I believe, what I had originally read about them on Wikipedia, there wasn't a Q. So I don't know when Q was added.
Although
maybe they never added it.
Although they do have it on this page that I just read from about fairness for all. They specifically talk about legislative protection for LGBTQ people. So it's a little bit selective.
It is because, I mean, what you're referring to is the DEI.
Trans movement that the Trump administration is wrapping themselves in. And I would also say to anybody that says, well, they're still standing up for gay rights. Let's be realistic. Yeah. It's where it starts. First, they come for one thing, then they come for another. Yeah.
And one of the things that you had written down in one of the, when I was clicking through their website, it talks about HIV and AIDS and how they come around, and offer support for the community. But at the exact same time, what I was looking at, I actually printed it, was Trump administration axes more than $125 million in funding for the LGBTQ plus community.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's on multiple, that's not just one website.
Right.
It's everywhere. They've canceled grants for 63 LGBTQ plus programs.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, how do you have both at the same time?
Right. Right. And again, that's where, you know, I would say this to any of my gay brothers and sisters who are Republicans or identify as Republicans. That's fine. But the issue is when you stand behind policies that are harmful or potentially harmful to the very community you are a part of, that's the issue in my mind.
So I had written down, because when I was also looking into the, and I don't want to spend a ton of time on the Log Cabin Republicans, but I thought, is there a difference between MAGA and the Log Cabin Republicans? Is there a difference between Republicans and MAGA? I found out, you know, obviously MAGA, Make America Great Again, just the differences.
Yeah. And I think at one time there was a difference, and that's, and I think the problem has become is that has now become, the MAGA movement has become so enmeshed, they are the Republican Party now. And that's what makes it so challenging.
So all Republicans are MAGA? Not, well,
I can't speak. I cannot speak for all Republicans. Yes, I can't, you know.
Yes.
But they have, I will say, co-opted the Republican
Party. And there was that bar, I forget what state it was in, that banned anybody from wearing MAGA gear into their establishment because they were worried that it was going to incite violence from people lashing out against them.
Wow.
And
now you could make the argument that, well, is that right? Because now you're infringing on freedom of expression, free speech.
Well, maybe for their own protection, you're protecting them by not allowing that
if I were that establishment, then you might need, just saying, hey, if you're going to say, you know, you can't wear a MAGA hat, then you can't wear any hat.
All right. Well,
I'm just because
you go into these gay bars
because then because then you give, you know, fodder to say, well, you know, you're being hypocritical.
You go into these gay establishments to support the establishment, to surround yourself with like-minded people. And in today's climate, if you're going in there with MAGA gear on, you're not in there for the same reasons that everybody else is in there for.
Listen, if I walked into if I two gay guys walk into a bar, a gay bar and I see people in there wearing MAGA gear, I'm walking out. I mean, no question. No question about that. But
the person that had told us that we could not post on their platform, I copied a little bit of what they said, and they said, there is a present danger in the log with the log cabin Republicans. There is something fundamentally wrong with a gay man coming out of the closet and saying, I am gay, but I'm still a MAGA Republican.
I agree. I would agree with that. It's one thing. And again, there is a distinction. I'm going to make that distinction. Listen, this is not a reflection of my political beliefs. There is a big distinction between a MAGA Republican and what used to be the Republican Party. I can still disagree with their views. But, you know, you could say, hey, I'm a Republican because I believe in certain fiscal economic policy.
Yes.
But I'm still going to stand up, which is where the log cabin Republicans' roots were.
Yes.
But from what I see and some of the things that they're saying right now, I'm not so sure.
I feel like we gave enough of our energy to the Republican Party. We know where we stand. We know that we align with our community. And that's what we're going to stand up for. I'm going to switch topics. And talk about something that I realized. I went back and I reread your what you posted on LinkedIn about empowerment after you come out as gay as a leader. Mm-hmm. And I looked back because I was in a corporate career for 26 years. And I looked back and I thought, were there any out gay men in my corporate world that I worked in that were empowered? And we had a voice. I worked in insurance that had like a strong voice. And I thought, oh, I don't remember one of them. And actually, you know, my career was early 90s all the way until the 2018. For the most part, those people were quiet. They were in the background. They weren't standing up. They weren't speaking from a place of empowerment. And what's different for us coming out later in life, I'm going to speak for you and myself, not everybody, is that we feel empowered. When we came out as gay and we are empowered.
Yes.
We are living large versus people that came out in the 60s, 70s, 80s, maybe, are living much smaller gay lives. And there was a quote that I read and it said, queer people didn't grow up as themselves. They grew up playing a version of themselves that sacrificed authenticity to minimize humiliation and prejudice. I thought, wow, that is so true. It's kind of the exact opposite of how you and I are living.
Although, didn't we grow up that way?
Didn't we grow up hiding or sacrificing ourselves, our authenticity? Yes, we did. But we're not that... But we did that as closeted men. We're not doing that as out.
Right. That's very true. Yeah. But if you think about, I think one of the things that I've come to realize more and more on my own journey, even those who did come out earlier, and I think, you know, to your point, Brian, this is probably truer of men of a certain age, right, of our generation, because in those days, was harder to come out. There wasn't the acceptance there. So even those who did come out still maybe, you know, faced a lot of issues and not to mention, you know, HIV and AIDS at the time. But in many ways, we were all hiding. And yes, maybe, and I think coming out at this point in life, to say, I'm not going to hide anymore, and I want to do whatever I can to make that road easier for others, is something positive that can come out of the hiding for so many years.
Yes. I mean, when I first came out, like you're demonstrating with your shirt, I went out and I bought some Pride gear. I bought rainbow shirts. I wanted to advertise it. I had lived a life that didn't acknowledge that, and I wanted to be seen as who I was. And I shared this last year. My son and I came out to my son, and then my son came out to me in the same conversation. And I was so excited, I went online and I ordered us both a bunch of shirts, socks, this, that, whatever, Pride gear. And I gave him his, I had mine. I'm wearing mine. He's not wearing his. I'm wearing mine. I'm in his room putting clothes away, and his Pride stuff is still folded and it hadn't been touched. And I said to him, oh, did I get you the wrong size? Does it not fit? Do you not like the color? Blah, 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 whatever. And he said, Dad, I don't need to advertise who I am. I've been who I am.
Yeah. Yeah.
His entire life. He grew up, you know, we didn't shame him. We didn't tell him he couldn't wear something or act a certain way or be who he was. So he grew up being his authentic self from day one in our
home. Yeah. And I think that's a really good point. And that is a big difference, right? Those who come out and it is easier. I'm not saying it's still not difficult for a lot of kids, younger people that come out, but it is certainly easier than it was in our time. And it is, it's just more accepted. It's like, okay, so you're establishing your personhood, who you are earlier, and your identity. Similar. I have one of my daughters came out as bi a few years ago before I had come out.
Okay.
But at the time we were like, okay, how can we support you? It was never a question. It was never, oh, you need to hide who you are. It's like, okay, great. Good for you. Whereas for us, right, it's like, okay, because the world has known us in one light for so many years, I feel a desire to say, I want people to know me now for who I truly am. And I know last time we were kind of talking about the hiding and things like that. So it's the coming out of hiding.
Do you think that because you were suppressing your sexuality when your daughter came out as bisexual, you were supportive of her because secretly that's how you felt on the inside?
That's a great question. I supported her because we had always been strong allies of the community, right? So in hindsight, maybe. I don't think I actively thought that at the time or, you know, made that connection at the time. But in hindsight, sure. I'm sure that was definitely there. It was, a kinship, if you will, right?
Yes.
Something that could potentially have brought us even closer. Yeah.
That's how I felt. I felt my son was expressing who he was without telling us who he was. And I was very accepting of who he was, whereas I had, other dads through sports and this and that or whatever that were macho and kind of saw that behavior and weren't accepting of it. And here I was cheering him on to be who he was. And, was I cheering him on because that's who I was deep down inside and he was living something that I had wanted? I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know, but I look back.
Yeah. And you brought up, you mentioned some of the things that I've written on LinkedIn where I do talk a lot about the being able to bring your whole self into the workplace. And this is where I think about the impact of my coming out that's had on me as a person. Again, just beyond my sexual identity, it has changed how I think about how I work and how I show up at work. And it's not to say, no, I'm not going to wear this to a meeting with an important client. But it's about people I work with. I'm out to them. I write about it on LinkedIn. So I'm out to my professional network. And it's about you're not performing. You're not wearing a mask. And I'm able to express myself. And I encourage, from my team, from people I work with to say, look, we bring the diversity of who we are into the things that we do because that makes us better and that it's okay to be vulnerable, You know, even as a leader, it's okay to say whether I don't have the answers all the time or this concerns me. We're human beings. And yes, there's certain things you're going to do in the workplace versus your personal life that you're not going to, but to accept the fact that we're still human beings in the workplace.
Yes. Let me ask, I'm going to ask you a question. You came out to yourself, then you came out to your wife, then you came out to your family. Something we really haven't talked about on this podcast is coming out at work.
Yeah.
What did that look like for you? And how long after you had come out at home did you come out at work? Because you publicly came out at work. I mean, you're posting on LinkedIn. You obviously came out to your coworkers and the company that you work for. What did that look like?
It took some time. And for a while, I wasn't sure if I would or how I would. I think over time, as the journey continued, I knew more and more I wanted to be out. And again, this is my path. Some people, you know, it's like you've got to take things at your own pace, at your own speed. So it was probably, let's see, I came out to my wife, let's say about 18 months ago. I didn't come out at work probably about 6 months ago. Okay. There were a couple of people that I'm close to that I had shared with, but in terms of coming out more publicly and then, you know, starting to write and post through that lens, it's only been about 6 months. It was at the point where I felt like, okay, now I felt ready. And there was just something that clicked for me that said, yes, now is the time.
Okay. That there's... Did you have friends at work that you had told first, like they knew you on a personal level, they knew that you were gay and now you were going in and you were just telling the rest of the people?
There were a couple of people that I had shared with at work that I was close to.
There's National Coming Out Day, which is November 10th.
I think it's October.
Could be October 10th or October 11th. We'll have to look that up. But one of the people in my group, he took a rainbow cake to his company on National Coming Out Day as his way of expressing who he was as a person's first gesture as far as who he was.
Yeah. October 11th. I just checked.
October 11th. Okay. So 10/11. I had it just the opposite. I wanted to touch base on something that you and I had talked about. Lying versus hiding. When you're in the closet and you're discovering who you are, or you're coming to terms with who you are, it's a process. You don't go, it's not just overnight because you have a lot of confusion over what the hell's going. Then you have discovery of, holy shit, this is me. This is who I'm going to be. This is, you know, where I'm headed. And then you have the evolvement of becoming that person. There's so much involved in that. What are your thoughts on
that? Well, a lot. First of all, I think it's a process that never ends. And you know, I'll even go back to kind of talking about the coming out, you know, process. And I've several people, those who have been out most of their life, even talk about this. It's like you're always coming out.
Yes.
It never ends because you go into a different situation where you haven't met people or new people or, you know, it's like you're always, it's always the coming out, right? So in that sense, that journey of becoming never ends. And the process of discovery of, you know, who am I now versus who I was before? Well, I'm still the same person, but there's other elements of, again, I think we've talked about this before, kind of that wholeness of being and living my full self. But I know for me, I'm still discovering that every day. Who is Mark the gay man living out versus who was Mark before as a married man, a husband, a father? I mean, I'm still a father. I'm still close with my wife. But there's these other elements now. I'm still figuring that out. And I think, you know, part of it, and I'm curious, you know, Brian, how you felt about this, like when you first came out, you know, you go through a phase of like, oh, well, I have to act a certain way. I have to do certain things. And it's like, well, I'm not going to suddenly become somebody completely different than I was before.
Yes. Right. Yes.
But, and I think it's I'm still me, and it's an evolution. And some of it too, I try to say, like, well, let go of feeling like, well, you have to be a certain way or you need to do a certain thing. It's like, no, this is just who I am.
That's how I feel too. I feel like, okay, I told you this Pride gear, and I went to a restaurant where the hostess knew my older son, and I had come out. I had on a shirt that says, can't even think straight, has a rainbow on it. And she said to me, oh, that is so nice of you to support your son. In reality, it was me advertising myself, obviously, but still viewed. I think you're wearing that t-shirt you're wearing today. Maybe walking down the street, somebody's thinking, oh, you're just in support of the community. You don't have to be part of the LGBTQ plus community to wear it. You could simply be in support of it.
But absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah.
Things changed about, you know, a lot of things changed. I think I became more open-minded, or at least I expressed a more open-mindedness after coming.
In what way?
I think in a lot of different ways. I don't know, to my, well, my vulnerability. I think that I went from wearing this suit of protective armor, is what I guess the best way to describe it. I always shielded myself, you know, because when I was growing up, I was called gay, I was a faggot, I was whatever. And that as an adult, I never wanted to present myself in a feminine manner because I didn't want somebody to attack me the way that I had been attacked. So I had this shield of armor. Once I came out as gay, I no longer needed that.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And how does that manifest itself for you? Like in your day-to-day life, is it in interests? Is it in what you might wear? Is it in?
I think it is a 100% transformation for me because I really embraced my new self.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody asked me, are you comfortable with your sexuality? And I say, I am an out, proud, gay man. Last year, my younger son graduated high school. And because of the pandemic and some people not seeing each other, and then me coming out as gay and my ex and I divorcing, there were some of my son's friends' parents that I hadn't seen in 3 years. And I was going to my son's graduation, and I thought, oh, this is the first time I'm going to see a lot of these people. The last time I saw these people, I was a married man. I was living here. I was this, you know, whatever. And now everybody knows that I'm gay. Everybody knows that we're divorced. But it was like, okay, am I going to not be me so my ex doesn't have to be embarrassed that her husband came out as gay? And I thought, why the fuck? And why would I be an embarrassment? What about me?
Right.
Is an embarrassment. That was all in my head.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
You know, I'm not showing up in my Saga Talk shorts to my son's graduation. Right. Those are more things that I do, you know, when I'm without my kids. When I'm with my kids, I'm dressed the way I would have normally dressed before. But I, you know, when I'm by myself or what I'm doing, I'm much freer to be me.
Yeah. So one of the things for me that I would say, in terms of expression, music, I've always loved music. I've always been into all kinds of music, but you know, if you asked my kids, I was, you know, I was into dad rock, classic rock, right? Get in the car. What am I listening to? Led Zeppelin. Music from the 70s and 80s, but I've always liked, and I still like that. You know, it's not like, okay, I don't like that music anymore, but I've also always liked and Lady Gaga and disco music.
And you now, viewed that as gay music, or you viewed that as like, music
I'm not going to be caught dead listening to that. I can't really? Admit I like that.
Maybe not sing it on full blast with all your windows down.
As I mean, look, on the other hand, I mean, look, I was the consummate musical theater kid, but you know, but now it's like, You know, I was joking with my kids at the end of this past year, 2024, you know, on Spotify, at the end of the year, you get the Spotify Wrapped.
Oh, yes.
And it kind of like gives you a summary of like all your top, you know, music for the year. It's like my Spotify Wrapped for 2024 was like complete 180 from the previous year. It was like, you know, 2023 is all, you know, rock artists and a lot of jazz, which I also love. But then 2024, it was like, who was my top artist? Lady Gaga, Taylor Swift, Pink.
You know, like, I love that. Like, you had put down in the notes, how do you build your community?
Yeah. Yeah. That's a rich topic. We could probably spend a lot of time, you know, talking about that or kind of keep coming back to it. And I'd love to hear from any of our listeners as well. You know, how do you build your community, right? You know, we come out later in life and, you know, people talk about the gay community. And look, one of the things I've certainly learned is, well, it's not monolithic. It's like anything. You've got all, you know, whether you class, you know, you've got your twinks, you got your bears, you got your daddies, mm-hmm. there's that. But then there's just also, you know, all varied interests. And how do we find our community? How do you suddenly go out, okay, now I'm gay, where are my people?
Yeah. How's that been for you? I was fortunate with that. So, you know, I think there's, like you said, many different communities. You have your hookup community, you have whatever your different communities. When I came out, I found Gay Fathers of Los Angeles. It's a relatively small group. My first time I met with them, there was only four of us that met. Maybe the next time there were eight of us. I found my best friends in that group.
Yeah.
We all live within like 45 minutes of each other. We see each other a couple times a month, but these are all men similar in age to me, married for long periods of time, for the most part, I think monogamous relationships, but that's really the community that I have built. Mm-hmm. And then online through Gay Fathers Worldwide, I've met people in other states. I met you at our retreat last mm-hmm. year. Several of the guys that I met there, I've kept in contact with, but that's been my community.
Yeah.
I don't have people that I work with that are gay. I'm not part of that community. I had some neighbors that moved. It was a hot young gay couple, but not, you know, not a ton of socializing with them, just the age difference for me. But yeah, that's kind of how my community developed.
Yeah. Yeah, I've found it similar. And I think we've talked a little bit about this, but through Gay Fathers, you know, Worldwide, some of my closest friends, both, I mean, there's a number of people that I've yet to be able to meet in person, but we've formed, you know, friendships over the phone, over Zoom, over text, where we're supporting each other. You get to know each other. That has absolutely been a phenomenal source. And, you know, listen, I've met people on apps and, sure, there's, you know, there's the hookup aspect of that. People say you can never meet anybody on Grindr. Well, you know what? I have met people on Grindr that have become friends.
Yes.
You know, you have to be discerning. You have to be a little bit careful when you're on the apps, but that can happen. I'm doing something. I don't think I told you about this, this weekend that I've never done before. I am going to a meetup. It is a gay men's naked drawing meetup group.
Oh, you did mention. Okay. Oh,
did I tell you about that?
No, you texted me a little bit okay. about it when you texted me your schedule, but I don't know anything about what it is. So,
well, I'm going to find
what
out.
Is it?
It is a group of men, obviously. And they say you don't need to have any drawing experience, which is good because I cannot draw to save my life. The models are naked and they are men that are part of the group that get up and model and people can take turns. And one of the other prerequisites for the group is everybody is naked during the couple of hours that they meet. Now, they say this is not, it's not meant to be a hookup. It's not a sex party. Yes. It's about, you know, freedom of expression, being able to be who you are. And I had read something about it I think on an online group I'm part of, and I went and I checked it out, and I was like, this looks, I never in a million years would have thought I'd be doing something like this. And, you know, this sounds like it could be a way to meet people and just to continue to become more and more comfortable in our bodies, in who we are, mm-hmm. and how we express ourselves. I mean, great, yes. not for everybody, but I was like, you know what? Check this out.
I did a naked game night. I think I shared with you earlier this year. It may have been in January. And it was not an orgy. It wasn't sexual. I don't know what happened after I left, but for the, I don't know, 4 hours that I was there.
Oh, you left before the good part.
Everybody there was naked. But we sat around at a big table and we played some board games for a while. And then we had this huge section. And then we sat around the sexual and we played the game off of the TV. It's called. Uh-huh. Jackbox, I think is the name of what it was.
That sounds
anyways, it
interesting.
Was
Jackbox?
I think that's the name of it.
What were you doing?
Yeah. It's like a trivia, but you play everybody used their phone.
Okay.
But I did that and I thought, okay, one and done. I was extremely uncomfortable. I was gonna be the oldest person there. And I thought, what am I doing? But I went, I did it. I have some body issues with myself, but yeah, I did it. So good for you.
Well, we'll see.
We'll see. All right. We're at about 45 minutes. Is there anything else you want to talk about, or we're good with this episode? And
I think we're good. There's a lot more to keep going on. I think a lot of these topics, you know, we can continue to build on. And as always, we'd love to hear from listeners. Tell us what you think, your thoughts, and what else would you like us to be talking about here? You know, really, we do this for everybody that's out there listening. So please let us know what else you'd like to hear us talk about. Comingsideout@gmail.com.
Yeah, we've had comments on Instagram, on Facebook, on YouTube. So people are commenting from different areas, and then people are reaching out to you through your instant messenger. They're reaching out to me through my instant messenger. But yeah, write in and let us know. We'd love to hear from you. All right, Mark. Thank you so much.
Brian, thank you.
All right. Talk to you soon.